ein Glas.
So, willkommen to Chateau Amstelin.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's a Pernod based from Moscatel.
I taste that. That is Moscatel. Yeah. Or similar one. So for the podcast, first I have to say where we are. We are in a chateau, the most northern chateau, north of 52 degrees, I think, is in Amsterdam. And Amsterdam is not a very well-known region for winemaking, but you do it. My podcast partner today is Juan, and he's the winemaker in this chateau. And we'll find out why there's a chateau, where the wine comes from. It's not from the 27 grapes I saw outside.
No.
Because they have far more. We start with the Pernod, which is, as you said, Moscatel. Then it's from Spain.
Moscatel comes from Spain, yeah.
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 I read that.
Good.
I'm prepared.
That is nice.
Where shall we start? Shall we start with you as a person, why you are here, who you are, or shall we start with the chateau? Because everything belongs together.
Well, everything is connected together.
Yes. So we start with you, I think.
Okay.
It's more familiar.
Yeah, I know that much more, actually. Well, as you say, Juan Manuel Ropero, normally originally from Argentina, born and raised.
Yeah.
Mendoza.
That's the wine region.
Wine region, correct. So, and it's been a while since I left the country. 5 years ago, I started to travel a bit, working, US, France, Australia, back in France. And then I became a bit of independent. So I mostly work for myself,
yes,
advising different companies. And that's why my relationship became with Chateau Amstelin 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Chateau needed more professionalization.
They started 5 years ago.
Chateau started 2017. With the small productions.
Mm-hmm.
So they started rising up from 1,000 to 10,000. I think they repeat again, 10,000. And the challenge became when they produce around 40,000 liters of wine, which almost, I would say, 30% I had to get rid of quality differences for what I was target to. And then, I joined in the beginning of 2021 when the second or the third lockdown was there.
Yeah.
I don't remember really.
Oh, I stopped counting. So, but hopefully it's gone.
Yeah. I think it will be gone. So, and that's why, we decided to move in Amsterdam, not a wine region, but Chateau is making it a wine region, I would say.
You studied wine in Mendoza?
Yeah, I'm an enologist.
And if I understood your webpage correct, your aim is organic winemaking. True or not true?
We are now in the process, so we already have the winery certified for organic production. So that's first where I start, because, for example, some of the wines that we are going to taste today, actually the grapes are organic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can have the grape organic, but if your wine is not certified to do the processes in the organic way, you cannot put that on the label.
Correct. So you have wineries not in the Netherlands, but in various countries in Europe. We mentioned Spain. Mm-hmm. Which region of Spain?
Well, what is Spain? For example, the Moscatel is coming from Alta, Terra Alta, which is a region in Priorat or nearby Priorat.
Yeah.
That's where this grape is coming from. Then we have also Garnache Noir coming from Priorat region.
Mm-hmm.
We have our very, very great supplier of us, which is Roger. It's funny because I haven't met him personally yet, but we have such a fantastic relationship that the Garnacha is just fantastic. And because we, of course, speaking on the same language helps a lot.
Yeah.
When you need to coordinate harvest pickup and harvest date.
But the original winemakers in the field decide when to pick.
No, I decide when
you
to pick
decide.
Up. Yeah.
How do you know how?
Analytical parameters.
Okay. Just analytical.
Yeah.
Okay. Because some of your colleagues say they have the analytics, of course, mm-hmm. but what they need is the taste.
Yeah, so for sure. You can rely on both of them. you can rely on both of them. You always have a good conversation with the winemaker or with the vineyard owner. And you trust, you need to have a good relationship with the supplier.
Of course.
To understand each other. That's why it's important for us to trust on them. And to, we met the majority of them. Haven't gone to Spain yet, but hopefully this year I will visit Roger to gain more aligned each other.
How many external winemakers do you have?
We have grape suppliers.
Grape
not,
suppliers.
The majority, not as much as winemakers.
Okay.
So we have one supplier in Spain at the moment, which is Roger. Then we have different suppliers in France, Matilda in the region that is called Corbière. Then we have Stefan, which is a kind of an agent that helps us to source grape from Bordeaux and Loire, which we also have in contact with the wineries after all the deal is done and we get the supply from there. Then we have also an agent in Italy, which is we always have a struggle working in Italy, finding there. It's very difficult for us as a urban winery to explain what we do because it's not really common in Europe. So normally, for example, the big wineries, you have grape growers in different regions, and then it's normal that you transport the grapes. It is not normal in, or it's not really common or not really known in Europe that the grapes have to travel an hour, 2 hours for the winery. In this case, in our case, the grapes sometimes even travel 2 days. I experienced that, but then the explanation to the customers or the suppliers takes, you know, a lot of understanding, a lot of meetings, especially face-to-face meetings. So you can explain really well how is the process, because a grape needs to be picked up on certain quality, needs to be put in an octo bin, with a certain care. The packing have to be very well done and precisely, so then we avoid any, you know, ruptures on the transport, but also we preserve the quality. And of course, the pickup has to be done with a special cooling transport, same as your transporting group, the fruit.
If the fish survives, the dead fish survives. That's nice.
Exactly. Why?
The grapes can survive as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So all this idea or process, it wasn't that, or it hasn't been done before in such a large quantity in Europe. So this year we have produced 150, we have crushed around 150,000 kilos.
Oops.
Which,
that amounts to more or less.
So we are about 120, 130. Okay.
Not too bad.
It's not. So yeah, that's more or less a bit of the process or picking up. So, well, coming back to the producer, Italy with Abele, we are sourcing in Tuscany or Sangiovese, and also this year Pinot Grigio from Veneto. This year the Pinot Grigio was mostly focused to make orange wine. I'll explain you why after when we taste. And
orange wine had to be a good wine for yesterday because everything was orange yesterday.
Yesterday.
When we were recording, it was one day after
King's Day.
And on King's Day, everybody is dressed in orange. Even I was dressed in orange. Especially I bought something.
That is nice. I couldn't enjoy it pretty much because I had to work. But my wife certainly did. Went to a party like many of
like the rest of the 500,000.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, it was. It is a day that Dutch people enjoy.
Yeah. At least we found one shop who sold Cremant.
Okay,
so
nice.
We had Cremant from glasses.
That is nice.
Better than Heineken beer. For me. Some like it, I don't.
You know that there is a saying that it a lot of, I also don't drink much beer, but there is a saying that says it takes a lot of beer to make good wine, right?
I know that.
Then coming back to the suppliers, then we also have in Germany, Pfalz region, Johannes. Sorry for my pronunciation because I'm not the best on the pronouncing the foreign.
Bangert.
Johannes
Bangert.
One good Bangert, actually, in the Pfalz. That's where we source our Chardonnay or Riesling. We also source our Dawn Felder from them. I'm going to explain after a bit the quality that we have. Then we're going to taste also some, I believe, ferment that we do from Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have?
This no, means
we also have for example, Fasoligino in Italy.
Okay.
Which is, we source also Garganega and Corvina. For example, that's one of the best case because they are organic.
Yeah.
The grapes are organic. But of course, here we cannot put that on the label because of the...
But the way you work is near to that? Near to organic thinking?
Organic,
if you're not certified, but the approach is the correct one.
Define what is the correct one.
Yeah, that's why I...
You're going to be tricky with me, eh? Because I'm worldwide winemaker.
I said correct in the hyphens because nobody knows what is correct.
Okay.
In the organic thinking correctness.
Okay. But you know, the
approach is...
The approach is
less
to...
Less chemistry, more natural processes.
Well, I'm going to correct you a bit because I think it's not less chemistry, it's... to try to avoid using something that is a modified genetic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only idea of the organic part.
Okay.
Because you can still spray in the vineyards with sulfur and copper, which are chemicals. Otherwise, it's...
More than the traditional non-organic winemakers in the field. I think
that's also define what is incorrect. Eh?
I see what you're... Point is,
Well, it's a matter of trying to understand and balance. Everything is about balance, even also on the wines. It has to be balanced, and that's what there is a lot of concept outside that is philosophy. You know, everyone believes on something, and they try to share with the people. A lot of them is with the wine, for example. I'm a bit more open mind and then try to communicate and to teach why do we do certain things and why we try to avoid others, because it's winemaking is a science, and it's the same as a medicine. They are science.
Not a craftsmanship or both?
Difficult question.
There
is always passion.
I agree, yes.
If I'm passionate about something and that something cannot be sold, then you are not doing it good because it's also a business.
Yeah, just in vain.
Yeah. Unfortunately, everything is about business. So
if you
are super passionate about, let's put an example, you are super passionate about biodynamic, but then you wine tastes like crap.
Nobody needs that.
Everyone wants to drink a really good wine. Let's say, like, put it as simple. Everyone wants to drink a Pomerol, and everyone would like to share. If you are biodynamic and you bring Pomerol, you're gonna be the top one.
Mm-hmm.
If you are biodynamic and you make shit, sorry for my sorry for my language. Nobody will drink it. And
true.
Or if you are in Pomerol and then you are making biodynamic, but then it doesn't taste as a Pomerol, you're gonna be on the top on the bottom of the list.
And,
that's the truth. It's the hardness, but it's the truth. And that's what I believe, that passion has to be also in balance with the knowledge.
Mm.
In balance with the market. If you can do that on the three of them, then the success is I believe, is granted.
Tell me why this pet nut has become a pet nut.
Okay.
Or was it your intention? It sounded a little bit like it wasn't your intention from the very beginning, and then it started to be your intention.
To be honest, pet nut, it did not become as my intention. So I was forced.
I read it in your eyes.
I was forced to make pet nut. It's okay.
It's a good example.
To be honest, we've been progressing. So, 2021 was a test on trial with, we made a blend, Moscatel Trollinger,
mm-hmm.
which for me, it was first trial actually that I was doing as a pet nut. Never done it before. And I was still not pleasant with it. And I believe, purely Moscatel will, give customers a bit better approach
yep,
to enjoying
definitely.
A drink. And I think this year with this Petnat, we have done it. Of course, there will be always something to improve. But the thing is with Petnat, you know, it's, you're fermenting the wine and then you put it on the bottle. Nobody knows what is going to happen unless you open the bottle, you filter,
yeah,
or regas again, or try to get rid of the lees and treat the Petnat as a kind of a champenois. We try to minimize that processes, even though I believe that it could be better taste. But in this case, Chateau, or the philosophy of Chateau behind this Petnat, is to do it as it is.
I like it because it has the sweetness that yeah. Muscatel always brings yeah. with it, but it has what Petnat typically has
yeah.
a little harshness, and
yeah.
so it's a good blend for me.
Exactly.
Well, and this could replace, for my taste, the yeah. praise the beer.
Okay, well, that is... well, it's also very, very gassy, or it has quite low CO2, so that also kind of help to replace the beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I believe it's around 6, I think I aim for 4 on the bottle, 4 bars. I think we are a bit higher, but... You can sometimes see the bomb ticking.
Too much pressure is not good for the normal bottles.
No. But we
have a lightweight bottle already? Or
it's a sec bottle.
Okay.
So it is a lightweight, or it's the lightest that you can
yeah.
find for a sparkling. So it holds the pressure very well until a certain point. After that, it becomes tricky. We have here some explosions around.
When I opened my first Petnat, it yeah. was like an explosion yeah, because when it was new to me
yeah.
years ago, I said, oh, oops, now I know.
exactly. Well, here we tried to explain that to some of our customers. With this bottle, they have to be a bit careful while opening, or at least try to chill it very well.
Always.
Yeah. Now we're gonna taste a bit of our entry level.
You have, if it's entry level, we can just say something. You have 3 lines.
Yep.
Father, son, and what was the other one?
Grandsons.
Grandsons. So this is...
I already, you know, I learned a bit how to explain the differences. I'm not so sure our customers understand.
If they look at the prices, yeah. they will understand.
That's also true.
Just for the very beginners.
Exactly. That's also
true. Most expensive are the fathers.
Yeah, this is our entry level that we do, Vin de l'Europe. I don't know if you hear about that.
No. Is it official or is it Chateau Amsterdam language?
No, it is official.
Is it official?
I never
had it as a written.
Well,
maybe the law says it, but I don't read laws.
Yeah, Vindela, okay. Well,
so
you know the Europe divides between appellations,
yeah.
regions, countries,
yeah.
and then
until then I know,
and then the European Union.
Yes, of course.
And then if you blend wine within the European Union, so if you blend wine from France and Spain,
you have to
you
write something.
Mention as yeah. Vin de l'Europe, and that's what we do here. For example, you are drinking Verdejo from Spain,
yeah.
Sauvignon Blanc from Bulgaria, and Pinot Blanc from Slovenia.
This is a match the normal winemaker doesn't have.
I'm not so sure. I'm also normal, eh? I'm just open to please customers with new ideas.
Yeah, this is... In Germany, we have the wonderful word Terrassenwein. Uh-huh. Wine to drink outside on a terrace on the balcony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So easygoing.
Exactly.
Lightweight.
Yeah.
Nothing to think about. But if it's a hot day, you enjoy just the second bottle.
Exactly. That's what we are trying to do on this line.
It's fresh.
That's the concept of the line. There's you can find it here in our shops, but it's mostly our line that is focused on the retail market, such as now, for example, I believe, but I'm not so sure I can say this public yet, so I will keep it. But future in Netherlands, we're going to have on a big retail store.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, this one you can also find in HEMA. That you're going to taste rosé after.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it mostly focuses. And it's focused for the consumer that,
yeah.
you know, want to drink this wine with an aperol, or only just time for drinking, or if you drink everyday wine, that also becomes your everyday wine. Because I don't know about you, but our winemaker salary is not really to drink a 20 euros bottle
no
per day. So,
and I made a picture of the label. I'll have to put it. It's very nice, very
very simple. It will change very, the next year, but
it's a pity. It's
I like it's very simple and very easy to explain something.
Gives the idea
what
to do with it.
Yeah, to drink it.
For those who don't have the block open, two guys, one has put down the glass on the floor and drinks straight out of the bottle, which is normal if you're thirsty.
I think yesterday you could see a lot of people doing that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Now, give you a sip before we change to rosé. Give you a sip of this is our new release. It was released last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Vintage 2022 Chenin Blanc from France and Garganega from Italy.
So you really like to play with these different countries and different varieties that don't grow together?
Yeah, well, this is the Sons line, so this is a medium level. Something that I didn't mention, but in the bottom line or the grandsons is our wines that we produce on external parties. So let's say if you sell us grapes, but you also can produce wine for us,
mm-hmm.
because the volume cannot be produced here in the winery.
Mm-hmm.
We purchase you the wine and we blend everything in Bulgaria. We have our production partner, Domaine Boyard. We blend over there, we bottle over there, and then we bring it back to Amsterdam. And the difference with this Sons line is that we produce and bottle here in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
Different kind of approach, a bit more, let's say even though we play with blends, some of them probably you're gonna find oak. Some of them you're going to find different techniques of winemaking.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find, for example, a blend of maybe what's fermented in the concrete tank, or, for example, the orange. That's what we're trying to make a differentiation between the lines. So this was bottled 2 weeks ago, and it was released last weekend. We have mm-hmm. we had our bottle fest. Every release of wine, we have like a release party, and this last weekend we did our bottle fest. We tried to approach the customers to come to Chateau, not only drink wine, but also see what we are doing on our facility, because mm-hmm. we have a tasting room and a restaurant. And of course, I don't know about you, but I believe the best thing for drinking wine is pairing with the food.
Definitely.
And that's what we are doing mostly here in our facilities.
It seems to be really very young and
mm-hmm.
maybe he needs to settle sometimes in the bottle.
Yeah, that's a good acidity, freshness.
Yeah.
But the Chenin Blanc from Loire brings that.
True.
And then the Garganega brings that aromatic profile of violets, flowers. That helps with any pairing.
I think I never had them together. I had Garganega, of course. I had Chenin Blanc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, Garganega is mostly for, or Garganega is mostly for Suave.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have drink Suave, quite sure you had that. But I'm not so sure in the Suave region they grew Chenin Blanc.
No. Definitely not.
For example, this is our rosé also, or one of the rosé we have last weekend released a new one. But this one is also rosé Dornfelder from Germany.
From the Pfalz.
From the Pfalz region, correct. This one, for example, you can find on HEMA. This is for the HEMA portfolio.
HEMA, for the German listeners, is a supermarket, a big one. Is it supermarket, hypermarket?
It's a retail. You can find everything, you know.
Yeah. So it was the Kaufland.
I think it's a bit smaller, not that big. Yeah, Kaufland, I think it's not only in Germany. I've seen in the Czech Republic. So
they have bigger and smaller ones. Yeah. So the one I'm thinking of is not so big. And no. I was in a HEMA here. It was similar. Just the idea.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it? Poo-poo?
Poo-poo. Yeah, well, then you need to find a Dutch guy who teach you. No, it's not I am not the best in
I'll ask the Dutch. Daughter. Poo-poo.
Poo-poo, yeah. Those rebos are funny. I think it's still not the time yet to drink a rosé wine. The weather hasn't been that nice.
Do you think it's too cold outside?
Well, no, not today. Not today.
Today is better today than yesterday. Yesterday was freezing cold. In the morning.
I believe it was colder than New Year's Eve, I believe. Yeah. But or that's what I hear.
The roof had frozen water on it. In the morning.
But I'm getting
in the
used
sun, it was
to
fine.
I think the spring is not the spring yet. So we are having a bit long winter.
So it says on the backside that it is bottled in Germany as well.
Domfeld, yes. So this is from Johannes.
Mm-hmm.
We produce it in on their facilities. We also bottle on their facility. For example, Domfeld is organic growing. But again, as you are not organic producer, even though it was bottled in organic facility, which with an external bottler, you cannot put that in there. Mm-hmm. Gonna share with you the orange. I'm gonna tell the history about the orange. So when I came to Chateau, in some parts I was allowed to do whatever I want. Some others on the portfolio I couldn't change much. For example, we have a very success label which it was called Orange is the New White, and it was made from Macabeo.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, when you have a success label which has a good variety, normally you're not allowed to change much things, right?
Right.
The problem is Macabeo is not really a color scheme, so it's very difficult to actually extract some color from it. I made orange 2021, but of course I'm a bit more elegant on doing the orange, so I don't like much to extract and to extract color, so it was kind of a pale yellow, but it was not orange. So then I had many complaints. But yeah, this wine is not orange. This wine is not orange. Okay. So then
Orange in the making, but not in the feeling.
Exactly. Exactly like that.
Yeah.
We had a meeting and they said, how can we make it more orange? Okay. You want to make it more orange? Okay. So then, I agree indeed, but this is not a variety. So can we please have a variety where I can actually make you the orange? And then everyone is, which one? And then with our production manager, Didier, we look at each other and we say, Pinot Grigio, let's find Pinot Grigio from Italy, easy. And here it is. Is it orange now?
No, it's a rosé.
It's not a rosé.
I had to say this because you expected me to say, yes, it is.
No, it's okay. For me, is there a different, it could be a rosé also.
From the color?
From the color. Because of the you are used to for a rosé of a
light onion, German Pinot Noir
onion skin colors, kind of a Provence style, etc. If you look a bit more, for me this is orange, but there are different. Let the people from the podcast decide. We can put it in two glasses.
I can make it any color you want on Photoshop. Never believe a picture.
Yeah,
anymore.
No, that's true.
I like the wine, but I wouldn't call it an orange wine. So it's for me, it's a Pinot Grigio, which tends, if you let it on the skins for more than a day, tends to get the color from the skin. And this is a fine Pinot Grigio, a good Pinot Grigio, which from the color is, for me, for my taste, for my old eyes, more rosé than orange. But hey, I like the wine, so that's it.
Well, that's important.
That's the most important.
Exactly.
I would, in a restaurant, I would prefer this to many accompanying dishes. It stays on the palate.
Mm-hmm.
It has some acidity.
Yeah.
Despite being a Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, I think, the orange wine, it was normally as a customer, you will never have orange wine for drinking as a apéro. Normally the orange wine or the concept of orange wine was really made for the restaurants.
Mm.
So then it's, for me, that's the concept, and that's what I try to reach and also for us, for Chateau, the wine has to be very well paired or have that possibility of pairing with different dishes. And
everything from fish to meat.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care. If it's just one bottle on the table and one has fish, one has meat, go with both.
I think also for the, you know, the French dessert, a lot of cheese also will
go well. Of course.
At least glad you enjoy it.
Yeah.
My orange approach.
The Amsterdam way.
Try to be a bit more. Of course, I should give you like a vertical tasting from the past to now. So then you see the differences, but mostly trying to work on more elegant way.
Mm-hmm.
And try to help Chateau to also be able to pair the wines on the restaurants so that they go well. And that's what our customers are looking for.
Do you know your customers? Is it a special, are they wine enthusiasts or are they, again, the word normal wine drinkers? Mm-hmm. Are they beginners? Do you have any idea?
We have really like a bit, a lot of variation. You know, we are in Amsterdam, so it's, you have everything. You have the customers are like the natural wines. Say what it is, natural wines, but that's another topic we can.
the next endless discussion
that we can dive into. You have the customers that like new things, experiment. New flavors. And you have the typical customer that wants to drink a really good wine, especially when he pays for it at the restaurant. You know, you have to address quality per value. And that's what we are going to. We are, you know, normally every process takes time. On this facility, we are, since last year, September.
Okay. And
to give you an idea, on Friday, we were finalizing the organization of the tanks with no cooling. And then on Monday, there was a schedule to receive 28,000 kilos of Moscatel with no cooling, with no electricity. We tested the press and it wasn't working. No electricity at all. So to give you an idea, perspective,
so you're glad that it's not too hot outside.
Well, last year
could
was
be, could
hot,
be worse. Could be worse.
It could be worse. Yeah. Now we have to rent a cooling machine to have outside chill or grapes or cool down a bit the grapes after the transport. So there is a lot behind each bottle that sometimes, you know, it's good that we are actually talking here to share it with our customers. But a lot of, you know, the customers that are only looking at a bottle of wine and sometimes judging it, they don't know the work that is behind.
Yeah. The price range is moderate, I think. It starts at something below 10.
Yeah.
870 or 9. Yeah. I don't know.
And I think in HEMA we are about 799 or 699.
And the Big Fat Lady, which is a Chardonnay from the German winemaker, as far as I know, is about 25 or 28.
Yeah, correct.
So it's within a good range.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's too cheap and it's not too expensive. No, and you have, that's why I said in the beginning, you see the differences between the lines when looking at the prices.
Exactly.
Everything has its own value and that's okay.
Yeah.
This one is is it already a son? Yes.
Yes.
Or is it already a father? No, it's a son.
No, that's a son.
That's a son. Yeah.
That's our, we're going to taste a bit more, our sons, and then I'm going to, share with you the fathers, from, vintage 2021,
mm-hmm.
Which is currently what we have on the market, or 2022 vintage is still on some on oak, some on tanks. So,
How many oaks do you have? We are in the laboratory, and when I look out of the window,
there are 500-liter barrel. What is it called in French? Dominimouille or something like that.
That's 500.
Yeah, that's 500. And then we have also
Halbstück. Halbstück, we say. It's the same word in German. Demi.
Yeah, and then we have a small barrels, Bordeaux barrel 225. Also, I do quite a lot of sometimes staves when I don't want the micro oxygenation on the wine. I only want the aging that helps or the tannins that brings the oak. So I use only staves which are pretty much the same concept of the barrel, but without the micro-oxygenation or the being outside. And then on vinification, depends on the style of the wine. It can be just some chips. That depends on the style, how to design the wine. I'm going to give you Mourvèdre now. Mourvèdre Garnache Noir. This is a Mourvèdre from Matilda in Corbière. Garnache Noir from Spain, Priorat. It's also Orson's line, and it was also released last weekend.
Is it a 22. So it's very young.
Yeah.
How much time would you give it in the bottle to get more mature? Or do you say it's ready as it is after 14 days or so? Now it's shock of being filled. Yeah. Do you believe in the shock of being filled?
I do believe. Yeah. No, it takes a bit. For me, it takes...
You had a week now?
It takes a between a week and 15 days to pass a shock. You feel the wine. If you have tasted the wines on the tank prior to bottle, and then you taste the wine after bottling, you see that difference, especially because we were quite a lot with gases, so to keep the wine as inert as possible.
We make a break. Hello.
It's your husband, not mine, eh? I don't know.
So we talked about shocking the wine.
I believe it will take a bit of time to get back on track.
Is it okay?
No, I think I hope the wine stays as it is. Of course, it evolves. I would say in 6 to a year, it will evolve in really a positive way.
Many wines, especially red wines, need some time in the bottle to get another picture, which doesn't mean they're bad, another of those words, and getting better, but they may change.
Yeah.
But you don't intend this. If I understand you right, your idea is to have the wine as it is, if it's sold, ready to drink.
Yeah.
And buy the next bottle.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. The next 12 bottles, maybe next year, or 20. Or whatever.
That's what it is good for the business. If I give you a bottle of wine and then I tell you, it's gonna be nice in 2 years.
Well, you can sell me another one next year and say it's good for
2 years. Then you keep it on the cellar.
And then I'm your steady guest every year.
But
don't allow to drink it.
There are different concepts behind every wine. These wines are mostly to drink between a maximum of 2 to 3 years, I think. That's what the design is behind of the wines. So, and then we have then after the father's line, which is more if you want to keep it on the bottle, then I will tell you, better to keep it on the bottle for, let's say, 5 years. But all lines, especially on the sons, is not designed for aging. I prefer the people come over, taste it, drink the wine, have a good time. And
so they're perfect wines for restaurants.
Yeah,
good for pairing and good for, like a restaurant works, buying, selling.
Yeah, correct.
Normal restaurant.
Yeah.
The special restaurants.
If you are lucky to have a good restaurant in the business, you have a good luck selling.
The guy I'm doing the podcast with has a good bistro type of restaurant, but he likes old wine, so he keeps the wine in back when we had our Easter meal there. We had a champagne, a German Sekt from 2005, and was not so small a bottle, 3 liters, but just okay for the group of 20.
I believe it will.
And fresh as it should be, and a little ripening tone in it, but very elegant.
Magnums they are good for try on aging. Also, it depends on the wine. If the wine has a good pH, it will age correctly or in a good way.
What is a good pH for you?
Well, I believe in Germany it goes around 3. So it's quite low acidity. quite low and pH and high acidity. Well, you know, in Amsterdam we are about, depends on where it's coming. We're about 3.5, 3.3, depends on the blending. Reds sometimes are a bit higher. In this case, for example, we are about 3.5, so you also feel a bit, you know, the young which has a good acidity. So I believe this wine will age well because of properties.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer that the people drink it fast. You know.
the business plan.
Not only business plan, but you know, I'm
your taste.
We have to keep also the customer happy. Now we're gonna taste. This is for me, or what we're trying to do. You know, with every bottle of wine, for example, you have, for example, Mourvèdre Garnacha, a good representation of probably what it could be on the wrong body. Mm-hmm. Here you're gonna have a Sangiovese Cabernet Franc, very similar to Tuscany. So let's see. This also bottle unreleased last weekend. 50-50 Sangiovese Cabernet Franc.
What would you eat to this, with this?
Oh, last weekend we had a fantastic lamb.
Yeah.
And I think lamb would pair very well.
Yeah.
You know, a good lamb with the rosemary,
mm-hmm.
some meat that is, I don't know how it's in English.
Say it in Spanish.
Una buena carne de casa, hunting meat.
Yeah.
Game meat.
Yeah, it's in living in the wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will definitely keep this one for that.
Mm.
This one, for the tannins and the richness, this one I will tell you, yeah, you can keep it on the bottle for a few months. Yes, for sure. Yeah, Predak is looking for a wife or seller manager. You find your wife?
Yeah, yeah.
Or she find you?
Finish, I go.
Okay.
Predak.
Nice will reach.
Okay, see you then on Monday.
Ciao. He's working in the cellar?
He's our cellar manager, yeah. Huh? He works on the cellar, on the lab. He pretty much is the guy who actually makes true my ideas.
Okay. Is it a hard job?
Or he does a card.
Can he follow you with your ideas? You know, sometimes it's difficult if you have somebody who has the ideas and somebody who has to do the work.
Yeah.
There may be a big gap. But if it's a small gap, you can...
No, we understand it. We've been working together in Chateau 2 years already.
Okay.
So he has done 2 harvests already with me. He's still alive, so let's say I haven't killed him and he hasn't died. So... for a heart attack. So I think
he drinks the wine, so it must be good.
Yeah. No. He's really the soul of Chateau. So he really knows. It's a super knowledge. He's a agronomic engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a lot of knowledge. Probably even sometimes more than I. But the idea is to put Chateau on really the map of a wine company. And he helped me to do that. I believe knowledge and passion and also hard work, you can get through that. He is the one who knows everything. He knows more than I do from the cellar.
Intimate knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you switch to white wine, or you rather keep?
Yes, I can.
Okay, that is good.
Do you have the Chardonnay in the fridge?
We do have Chardonnay.
Because I would like to taste that, because of the German origin, there's something to talk about.
We are really proud of having such a good partner with Banghart. Mm-hmm. 2021 vintage was with Hannes. It's a sample label that I kept on our lab fridge for tasting like this.
It says, the fat lady sings like singing. She's singing in the Chardonnay.
Hopefully. Give it a try.
You know what? I have a bottle of that at home, but I didn't open it by now, intentionally, because I said, a fat Chardonnay.
Well, depends on what vintage, eh? 2021?
21.
Okay.
I got it for Christmas.
Ah, okay. That's nice.
As a tasting example, what would expect us, but I said, no, I leave it alone for a little.
If it's 2021, I believe you're going to drink this.
Well, that's nice.
Thank you.
That's a fat lady. What's the concept behind that? It's a
concept
full body.
Full body Chardonnay with what is a fermented and Asian oak.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we are using a combination of oak. There is one oak producer that makes the barrels with a blend. Austrian oak, German oak, and oak from Transylvania.
Okay.
That I believe is Romania.
Yeah.
So you have that combination.
In one barrel?
Yeah.
No, never heard that. Strange.
It's not strange. I think a lot of companies use the same brand. It's very famous.
They do it, but they don't tell it. They say it's French or German, depending on the winemaker.
Yeah, possible.
I'm
really open. I can even tell you the name of the brand. So
there's written on the.
It is written on the bottle, so you can take a picture. You know, there's no.
No secrets.
There are no secrets behind. You only have to be on top of the fermentation and the aging process to make a good wine.
And different oaks mean different tannins, different... Are they toasted?
They are lightly toasted.
Very lightly, because...
Yeah. It's to keep the freshness. Normally, that's a vintage 2021. There you have, actually, on the lab, we have all the... I was doing some blends on the Chardonnay Vintage 2022. Now we actually have... keep doing the same oak, but also we have adding some different French oak producers from different regions to try to keep improving the quality or maintain the quality. You know, normally we play with oak.
And is this made in the Pfalz, or do you make it here?
No, I make it here. Yeah. All that is Sons lines and father line, we transport the grapes and we make everything on the house.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Good.
It's Remy, the founder of the company.
Hello.
Hello.
Remy,
I'm Uli.
Ultrich.
Hey.
We are now on the podcast.
You're just live. No, not really. Not really. I can cut it. It will be online in a fortnight or so.
Ah, great, great. You're discussing your vision on winemakers' visions.
Everything.
Everything, yeah?
Everything.
I think I saw your email popping up somewhere. Great. Okay, then I'll leave you guys to it, unless you can bring something to the table.
He said some lamb.
There you go.
you can
ask Joey.
Okay, I'll leave you guys to it. Okay.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Remy, Harry Wine.
Yeah.
It's funny because his last name, a part of the last name, is related to wine. It's a wine in Dutch.
Yeah, so it was a pre-decision to be the founder of this one, of the Chateau Amsterdam.
Well, it's actually he had a different company before, so a different area. So he was a more marketing company.
So it's third year?
This is my second year.
Second year.
Yeah, 2021 and 2022.
You feel that it's improving?
Well, we definitely have an improvement.
Because your job is having ideas and seeing that ideas come true.
Yeah, for sure. But not only having the ideas, but also make them.
Yeah.
Which is the hardest part, make them true. And for the moment, we are on a good path. I think last year we have done a really good job coming to this location and being able to set up a professional winery where we can produce good quality. And of course, every year you can have an improvement, and that's what we are working on for the future. That's unfortunately different. That's what is the difference between the beer and the wine. On the beer, you can test if you want every day. On the wine, you can only test once a year.
Yeah.
That's why it takes longer, the products. And the products are for at least to step up and being recognizable in the world. It's going to take at least 5 years.
Recognizable in the world. Your main market is the Netherlands?
Yeah. That's our market only.
Only
We don't export.
Don't export.
No. No, for the moment. Chateau started with the idea of bringing the wine to the city. I don't know if you know, but Netherlands is the fifth wine country as a consumer.
Oh.
So they consume quite a lot of wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the top five, I believe. If not top five, it's top six. Germany, I think, is top two.
I will look that up.
Yeah, yeah.
I have my statistics somewhere.
For sure. I also have it, but I need to open the laptop.
Yeah. So. Me too.
So the idea was to, you know, for all the world is having a vision on sustainability, having a vision on how you can improve somehow or reduce somehow your CO2 emissions. And that's how Chateau started as an urban winery. That's how an urban winery. The concept of this is bringing the wine to the consumer, which is big in Netherlands, and having that path for itself. Friday, and have a few more wines.
That's always okay.
Why not? It's not that bad as I thought. So now we're gonna taste Furmint from Slovenia. With the Furmint, we have a really good partner that is also very well known. Puklavec.
Yeah.
For example, the Pinot Blanc that you taste on the entry level, it was also from them. This wine was fermented in stainless steel and then aged 3 months in oak.
The fathers seem to be single varieties.
Yeah, correct.
All?
Correct.
So we are. Fathers are single.
Fathers are single.
Not blended.
No, the father line is the most classic line. So it's a classic line. It's the approach that we do as traditional as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's where is the difference.
If I think about CO2, is it really the best way to transport the grapes, or is it better to transport bottles?
Ah, CO2 emissions.
CO2 emissions, yes.
Good question. We haven't done the test yet. We are looking for a company that will help us to do the test and see how we are doing in that, in all our process. But it's a good question.
Because you said you want to be sustainable.
We look ways to be more sustainable. For example, now this bottle that you are seeing now, it will change to lightweight, which is this one. So all our lines gonna have the same lightweight bottle.
That's a good step, I think.
All corks are now normally we're all using cork. Possible we will change also to screw cap. In some of our lines, so then we reduce a bit, and we also help with the recycling part. What else? We don't ship much. We try to avoid shippings, even though we have a web shop, but mostly we don't sell that much on the web shop. Normally we sell everything here on our location. That also helps. The idea of or having the restaurant and the tasting room is for the people to come over here. So the goal for Chateau will be to tap directly from the tank.
Well,
which is not simple. It's not possible.
No.
So then we do a bagging box, and then we have a wall with the taps. So that will be the best goal.
You already have bagging box?
We do.
That's nice.
There you have just behind the wall over there, the bagging box machine. We bought.
I think I will see that tomorrow then.
Yeah. On the tasting room, there is the taps. They have the label and on the taps.
Okay.
And you can have a glass of wine directly from the bagging box, which is the only way that you can transport the wine from the tank to the tap.
That's a good idea.
It's to keep the quality also. And then the idea will be if you roll that all the time, if you have a good circulation of the or turning of the product, that's the best way of...
How big are they? 3 liters? 5 liters?
The ones that are on the tap are 10 liters.
10 liters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Normally it's not for public sale.
No.
But it's only for the tap. We are not thinking of launching a packing box. If we do, I think it will be 3 liters. The most common on the market.
Which is a nice size for an evening.
Fantastic. It's gonna be a long evening.
Yeah.
Or a really bad morning.
No, I don't think this wine will make a bad morning. The group may be bigger than one or two.
Yeah. And then now I'm gonna let you tell me what this is. Hopefully. You did not see.
No, I didn't mark. Look.
I don't think you. Well, probably you will expect this, but
I can clearly tell you it's a red wine.
That is true. That is very easy to say.
Tastes like cherry.
Okay.
But I don't think that it's Pinot Noir.
It is not Pinot Noir.
So...
You know, from Argentina.
Malbec?
It is Malbec from France.
From France, okay.
So Matilda or partner in Corbière grows Malbec. So the grape variety is no original is Côte. It was translated then after to Malbec. Depends on the clone.
Mm-hmm.
So in the with the migration, some Malbec came to Argentina, and that's where it started Malbec production, which it was at the beginning was only for red wine, and then after the winemakers, even though we Argentinians, we were doing really, really good wines. Then this concept of varietals, which was brought to Argentina in the 2000s or late 90s, they start conceptualizing more the Malbec and make it even better every year. And that's why since 2004, we are the best Malbec producers in the world. And that's our signature. And I'm trying to put my signature also.
Bring a little home.
A little home. When I'm homesick, I drink a bottle of Malbec.
Definitely too cold now.
Definitely
too cold, I prefer not so warm red wine, but this is
rather fresh. Cold. Yeah, I think I set up the cooler wrong. I think the color is the red wines and the whites. I not good on this coolers, to be honest. For the people who doesn't know, we're on the lab we have a wine cooler. Of course, in the Malbec, different approach. As it's not ripe as you will expect from Argentina. More fresh characters, more fruit.
It's very, very fruity. So
And also, of course, it has an age in oak, about a year. French oak, probably it's a used oak. Probably was like the 50 use. Mm. I Chateau lost the track of how many times used it, so.
New and old.
No, that's fully old oak. Sometimes I'm fan of new oak, but it has to be balanced. We don't do a stabilization.
Mm-hmm.
This year we have started, but only minimum stabilization for the ones. Also no protein on the whites.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on requests, we can do it, but not really all concept. Normally now, unless it's travel the wine, unless it goes it will take a boat from Australia to China. Not possible anymore, but 3 years ago, I will stabilize the wine. If the wine is kept and sold in the Netherlands, it doesn't need to.
Yep.
This is Lucky Lucy, Syrah.
Lucky Lucy.
Lucky Lucy. Let's see if it's lucky enough. This is Syrah from Corbières, also from Matilda in France. So this was fermented stainless steel and aged in oak 12 months. 10, 12 months.
And why Lucky Lucy?
Good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who is Lucy? We'll find out. We'll ask the owner.
That's the best answer. Now, at the beginning, there are a few concepts behind the names that they used to be. For example, now in our Sons line, we are not using any more names. We are using varietals, so then the people understand more what is it in the concept. On the fathers, we maintain the names as they are popular, and some of the labels are dedicated to farmers or people who used to work in Chateau.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know who Lucy is. So probably if someone tells me now, I will remind it and I will tell you, yeah, that's the story, but right now I don't know. What do you think? Was it between your expectations when you came?
At first I had no expectations.
That is good.
Then I read something and I said, yes, there's an idea behind it.
Uh-huh.
When we got in contact by email, then I found your site and I said, uh-huh, that's the guy who does it. So expectations grew. But I still couldn't imagine to find a line. But I'm surprised on the one side. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really more than I expected, though nothing expecting, but it's more than. Because you wouldn't expect, sorry to say this, you wouldn't expect a good wine made in Amsterdam.
It is actually true,
what the mind is telling you. It's a good wine in France, it's a good wine in Slovenia, it's a good wine in the Pfalz in Germany, it's a good wine in wherever, Spain, Italy, whatever I've left out. But Amsterdam, how do they manage? And from the beginning on, where I respect that simple wines have to be good wines as well, to the fathers, which I like most, of course, because I'm a father. No, I'm a grandfather. You have to make a line for the grandfathers.
Yeah.
My favorite probably is the Chardonnay, because I'm more addicted to white wines than to red wines.
Yeah.
But that's my style of drinking.
Exactly.
I like the Lucky Lucy from the Corpse Gifts, from the Tasted Gifts, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't spit any of them. Very nice. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.